And again, this is going to be probably a shorter message here from the length we had for baby dedication. I really appreciate the godmothers, the parents coming here for dedicating these children. They are a great blessing to our congregation, their parents as well. And we appreciate you guys making the drive out here also. We're speaking here from the series that a lot of the city is going through right now that's called Explore God. And again, there's over 350 churches right now in the Austin Metroplex that's actually involved with this series of messages here, because they found through some surveys or through research questions that unbelievers or the unchurched have as to why they're not receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or maybe trusting God with their lives. The third question that came out among many unbelievers, and even those folks that were kind of seeking after things of a spiritual matter, was, why does God allow pain and suffering? If God's good, God's real, God's alive, then why does God allow pain and suffering upon the face of the earth? We're going to try to answer this question here in a brief way this morning. And I thought about, again, a story of a pastor I've known in Dallas, Texas, named J. Don George, a thriving Assemblies of God church. He's there to this day, as far as I know, still pastoring his church with a TV show on Sundays and on Saturdays as well. And J. Don George, over 10 years ago, had a young daughter who was, I think, in her early teens or perhaps 11, 12 years old, that came down with a very, very rare, very deadly disease. The entire church was fasting, was praying, was seeking God, bombarding the heavens for her healing, for her miracle in her body and her life. And she grew worse and grew worse and grew worse, and she finally passed away and she finally died. And of course, many folks, the body of Christ there in that church, were devastated there. They believed God for a breakthrough, believed God for a healing, for a miracle. For some reason, some way, somehow, that did not take place. That child died. And most of you folks in this room today have known of some believer, some Christian, had the same thing perhaps take place in their life, where prayer went forth, faith went out there, but it seemed like the tragic thing still took place in that life. But at J. Don George's funeral for his daughter, he said a very profound thing that stuck with me to this day today. He said, they asked him a question actually after the funeral was over on television. They said, what do you think about God now that your daughter has actually died of this disease, regardless of the prayers prayed to him for her healing? J. Don George said back to the person there, the interviewer that day, I don't serve God because I understand life. I serve God because I don't understand life. The fact is, there are going to be many unanswered questions upon this fallen earth we live in today, because sin is rampant. Evil's rampant all around us. And we're going to see here in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 14, what the origin of sin really has been all about, how it's released things upon the earth of a cursed type nature around us. When God made the world, it was not meant to be full of pain and full of suffering. When God put Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden, he wanted them to be a people that were full of peace and full of prosperity and full of multiplication. He only had good things in store for them on the face of the earth. But because they disobeyed God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that God said, don't eat of that fruit. And the day you do that, the day you do this, you will surely die. When they disobeyed God, they released things upon the earth of a curse that all of us today still face the consequences of that upon the earth. So chapter 3, verse 14, Genesis here, it says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, the snake, because you've done this thing, you are now cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said to her, I will greatly now multiply your sorrow and your conception or pain at childbirth. And some ladies here that have babies can probably say amen to that. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire also shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That means that the ruling that God placed over a man, over a woman in a righteous type way, would now be reversed, to where many women now want the role of a man and want nobody to be over them at all. They want to have no submission to folks around them, especially men around them. And that's a whole other message, of course, in itself. Then verse 17 goes on and says, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And both thorns and thistles it shall now bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So we see here again in God's word that the Bible tells us the curse around us is because of the sin of mankind. There were things that sprang up in the entire world that were not here before. We're now living in a very, very hostile planet. The good news is all things will change for the better when Jesus Christ comes back. Amen? But until he comes back, new heavens and new earth happens for us, there will be toilless, painful, suffering things all of us will be touched by upon the face of the earth. So I'm going to give you guys three take-home points now this morning. If I don't, write these things down, if you can do this, find something to write with, to answer the question, why does God allow pain and suffering upon the earth? Number one, first of all, realize it's not always about personal sin. It's not always about personal sin. We don't always find ourselves getting sick or diseased or going through accidents and turmoil because of personal sin in our lives. Understand that. It says in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, that now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him and said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered back and said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." So he's telling us it's not always your parents' sin, it's not always your sin that brings bad things to your life. But if bad things are there, what he's saying there, if bad things do happen to people, glory will go to God as God touches them, God delivers them, God heals them, or God sets them free from that, or God gives them grace in the meantime to have what they have until God does heal, God does transform, and God does set free. I still believe that it's always God's will to heal broken bodies and heal disease and take sickness and disease from us. Amen? I know it must take sometimes perseverance. It takes time. It takes us sometimes fasting and praying. It takes us getting keys sometimes of mysteries that might be there that's locking things up. But I believe that God is good and God wants to heal. God desires to heal. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are already healed. Amen and amen. So I'm saying don't get involved in unbelief from that. If somebody asks or someone's sick or has an accident comes to you, I want us as the body of Christ at Tree of Life Church to not, first of all, start thinking, what has this person done to sin to bring this sickness, disease, or calamity in their life? Let's start thinking right off the bat, what can I do through God's Word, God's Spirit, and faith to see this thing reversed off their life and see them healed, transformed, and set free in Jesus' name? Amen? Let's not be accused of the brethren. Let's be those who say, "Father God, I want to come in partnership with them and believe God for them that they shall be raised up to life and wholeness and soundness," and not try to find the sin in their lives that caused this calamity to take place in their body or in their lives. Amen. Also, I want to say, but sometimes it really can be, though, there can be sometimes personal sin that can give place to the enemy to bring bad things to us. So the flip side of this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Do not give place to the devil and give him no opportunity also in your life." So it's saying here we really can give place to Satan and don't do that purposely in your life. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 13, is Jesus Christ on a fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says now in verse 13, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until," notice this, "an opportune time." Realize there are demons around us all the time. There's probably demons in this room right now. Understand that. Are you scared of that? Are you afraid of that? No, they are already defeated by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? But I'm saying to you guys, they're around us trying to find opportunities, though, to kill and steal and destroy something in our lives. So Ephesians tells us by God's Spirit, give no place to demons and devils around you. Don't be doing things of evil on purpose lest you give them a foothold and give them opportunities there to bring something bad to your car, your house, your health, your children, your mind, so forth and so on. So that's the flip side. Again, we really can give place to the devil, but it's not always that that causes sickness or disease or bad things in our lives. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, the Old Testament, it says, "For the very thing I greatly fear," Job says, "has come upon me." Fear brings in an attack of the enemy. We all know in nature, dogs can smell fear. Amen. Almost all animals of prey can smell fear. The first thing to have is fear all over you when you come in the presence of a bad dog. That bad dog will growl. He will cower down. He will come towards you and try and bite your leg off because he smells fear on your life. So fear has torment, and fear gives place to the enemy. And God says perfect love will cast down all fear in your life. So the fact is, again, it's not always personal sin that brings bad things to us, but personal sin, disobedience, really can open doors up to the devil, though, so he can bring bad things to us. And so be aware of both these realms here. The main thing is Jesus Christ has paid the price for every bad thing we face in life, and nothing is too big for God to heal, deliver, and set us free from if we'll obey what God's word says, believe what God says, and do the works and will of God when bad things take place in our lives. Amen. Number two, second thing about this, pain and suffering is, it's not always about geography. It's not always about geography. What I'm saying here is, we can point out evil places and parts of our own nation and our cities and our nations around the earth that are doing some very evil things, some worse than others, it seems like. But Luke chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, "Are those 18 men on whom the Tower of Siloam fell down and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the others, other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will also all likewise perish." So he's saying there that, yes, sin may be rampant in Siloam, but it's not because of sin there. It's because you live in a fallen world with fallen man who made some defective bricks and defective mortar. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. The wall came tumbling down, and it killed all 18 of them. Sometimes bad things take place even to good people on the face of the earth. Amen? And so I want to read now. Let's move on. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, along the same line. It's not always geography. Matthew 5, 44 and 45 says this, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun," notice this, "rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust." You know, if it's true that God picks out cities and geographies to send disasters according to how much evil or sin is found there, then I guess Oklahoma City is a very, very evil city in America, because they've received now about 3 or 4 F5 tornadoes in the past 10 years. I don't see Oklahoma City being on a level the same as Las Vegas or the same as cities kind of like this. I'm seeing their weather patterns came together, clouds formed, and things take place that sometimes brings large hail, brings tornadoes, and brings earthquakes, and brings drought, and so forth. It's not always the sin of the state or the geographical region there. It is sometimes just the way the fallen world works around us. The good news, though, the flip side of this is everything nature throws at us, I've seen God thwart that by praying people who pray in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. I've seen how God has broken droughts. God has diverted tornadoes. God has brought protection in the time of earthquakes. God has saved sailors in high storms and high seas in the middle of nowhere in the ocean. God is still a delivering God. The world throws bad things at good folks and bad folks, but Jesus Christ can still stand up in your boat and say, "Peace, be still," and show forth divine intervention there and bring protection to your life in the bad things the world throws at us in this earth. Amen? And so, sometimes also it's such like this. Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says, was a place full of evil, and God sent down fire and brimstone, burned the cities up. We find in Egypt, 10 plagues are released there upon the Egyptians and wiped out many people in Egypt. The firstborn were all killed, and locusts came forth and so on. So we see how sometimes geography does play a part as far as bringing forth evil to a place or bringing forth tragedy to a place, but it's not always the case. Let's read also now Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18. Leviticus 26, 18 and 19, talking about Israel. It says, "If Israel breaks covenant, if after all of this, if you do not obey me, says God, I will then punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I'll make your heavens like iron, your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruits." This talks about drought. That God sometimes would send to Israel a drought because of breaking covenant, getting involved in idolatry, and doing sinful things upon the earth. So I do believe that sometimes the hedge that God puts around a nation or a region can have gaps formed in that by rebellion, by sin, and by evil. That's why God says, I looked for a man or woman to stand in the gap, but I found none. And so then evil took place upon the land. In America, there are many righteous people in this country. Amen. And they are praying for our nation on an ongoing basis. I'm saying to you guys also, you pray, I hope, every day for our nation, our president, our leaders, our military, our men overseas, our police force, all the things around us that have gaps in them. I'm saying let's be those who pray the gaps get closed and we see good things take place in Jesus' name. Moving on now, number three, last of all. God does not bring pain and suffering upon us to teach us a lesson. God does not bring pain and suffering on us to try and teach us a lesson. John chapter 9, here's Christ himself and disciples passing through a Samaritan village. Verses 53 through 56 says this, but they did not receive Jesus in this town because his face was set to go to Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But Jesus Christ turned and rebuked them, and he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but he came to seek and save them from disasters upon the earth. Amen. So you and I that are here today, we don't take and put our children's hands on burning fires. We don't take and put thistles and thorns in their backside, try and teach them lessons. We do things that are righteous and just. We even spank sometimes in a righteous James Dobson way. Amen. We use a paddle, not our hands. Our hands are a symbol of love. And we then hold that child, hug that child, and say, I love you, but I don't like what you did. And you're going to receive a little bit of pain from that. But it's not going to be thorns and thistles and fires and tornadoes and scorpions in your bed. I'm not going to do that. Amen? God is saying to us again, God will not give us bad things and give pain and suffering to us, trying to teach us lessons in this life. But the Bible does say this. He can use bad things, though, for the good. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good. Not they are good, they work together for the good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to the purposes of God. I talked to a pastor named Glenn Hubbard last week. This man said that, you know, I went through a near-death surgery only about 6 days ago. He went with me to Botswana last month in July, and praise God that he had did not manifest in that country. This man went through some different kind of stomach surgeries in the past that produced gallstones. And those gallstones were now lodged in parts of his liver, very, very hard to get to. The surgeon through CT scan said, I don't know if I can remove these stones with the knowledge I've got myself. I must try and bring another specialist in here who's very, very good at doing this. This other man talked to Glenn Hubbard and said, okay, tomorrow morning when I do the surgery, I may have to cut you up one side and down the other, trying to get these stones out of a very, very hard place to get them out of by your liver. You may not survive the surgery. The Spirit of God spoke to Glenn Hubbard and said, ask that surgeon to check you out one more time on an x-ray. He checked him out. He saw the CT scan. He said, well, good news is I'm only seeing two stones now, and I think I can get to them by not cutting you totally wide open from one side down to the other here, but making a few incisions inside your stomach here in the top. And so he did that, had successful surgery. Glenn Hubbard came through with flying colors, did not die, is alive. He's being healed up right now by the power of Almighty God. The pain's gone. The pain has ceased. Good things took place from that. But what he said to me also was this. He said, because I heard God's voice to have that second scan done, the surgeon said, I've now learned a new thing for other patients I serve in my practice. You've actually saved the lives of other people by what you've done in this surgery room. You see, sometimes God takes bad things and brings good things from them. Amen? We go through sometimes pain and suffering ourselves, but God will use that to help other people out beyond us because God sees the whole picture, and God wants to bless many lives, not just your life on the earth. Amen? So be aware of that. So as I close here today, I want to read here in Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. The fact is, there's pain and suffering, and everybody in this room today has been touched by pain and suffering somehow, some way in your life on the earth. Amen? But I hope today I've answered the question, why is there pain and suffering? The real question this morning actually should be, where is God in the midst of pain and suffering? Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, talks about Jesus Christ coming back to the earth. And it says here a great promise he gives to all believers in him. Verse 1, now I saw heaven, and I saw a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven that said, behold, the tabernacle and dwelling of God is now with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Praise God. God is saying to you and I, cancer may touch your family somehow, some way. Car crashes may happen in your family or your loved ones somehow, some way. What God is saying to us is, my grace is sufficient for you. And I will be there in the midst of your storms, your pain, your suffering. I'll bring my healing power, my deliverance, and I'll bring forth answers to you. The main thing is I also will bring to you my son, Jesus Christ, by the power of his own spirit, that no temptation will come your way. I'm going to give you the power and grace to receive that temptation and overcome that by my power, by my grace, and by my word. I want to get some help here today also right now from David Broderick, perhaps at the front for this keyboard. I want us all just to bow our head right now to close our eyes for a moment here in just a place of solitude, of prayer, of reflection, of thinking about what God is saying to us individually in this room today for a Sunday morning service like this, talking about if God is real, if God's alive, why is there pain? Why is there suffering? There's pain and suffering because we live in a fallen world. You're going to see perhaps tornadoes and hurricanes and hailstones and meteorites increase upon the nations. And a few of those may even hit your own house or yard unless you pray before they get to you. They get diverted. And I'm saying in one point there, do be a prayer warrior in Jesus' name. Don't accept what nature throws at you. Don't accept a 100-year drought. Don't accept a 100-year flood. Don't accept a 100-year tornado. Don't accept a 100-year disease. I'm saying these things have been paid for by the price, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do not lay down on the job in these last days, because the Bible says in the last days there shall be calamities take place upon the face of the earth. But I have overcome the world, is what God also says. And praise God also what God says in the last days. I'm going to bring forth the spirit of Moses and Elijah. And those two prophets were known for signs and wonders that changed the heavens and changed the geography and changed the weather patterns and brought forth protection and blessings and conquering to God's people. And so because there's pain and suffering, he's an ever-present help in times of trouble. He's a strong tower. He's a mighty fortress. He's an overcoming conqueror. He's a faithful brother, a faithful God, a faithful master, a faithful Lord. He's one that cares about us more than we can ever ask or think or imagine. He's a God of power, a God of grace, a God of wisdom, a God of divine intervention. Because there's pain and suffering, there's a God who's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-kind, all-loving, and all-true, who gives us every promise in the Word of God for every pain and bit of suffering we face upon the earth. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed right now today, the biggest pain and suffering we'll ever face is not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then facing an eternity apart from Him. The Bible says, no man comes to the Father except through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out, but I'll receive them. I will love them. I'll be their God, their Lord, their Savior. And I'll be the one who helps them to know the path to take in life. Because all we like sheep, he says, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own ways. But God laid upon him our sins through his own Son, Jesus Christ. The fact is, again, this morning, none of us can save ourselves. None of us can be good enough to make it into heaven ourselves. None of our attendance of church, our paying of tithes and offerings, our doing good for folks around us that are poor and needy will ever earn us a place in God's kingdom. That's why God says you must be born again. Your dead spirit only comes alive by the power of God coming inside of you. And that only comes by confessing that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, the Son of God, the spotless Lamb, the Redeemer of all mankind. All of those who call upon his name, they shall be saved. Well, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed right now. I want to ask this morning, is there anybody here today?